And welcome back to Cinema Vino. Yeah, this is our final episode in our wedding series. So this is not our penultimate episode. This is our ultimate episode. In many, many ways. I'm here with Sean.
This is our season finale.
Exactly.
Series.
Exactly. It's our wedding season finale.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But yeah, Sean Jordan.
Hi.
And Travis Bud.
Hey.
Travis Tud.
Right here.
Travis Bud.
What up? Whoa, don't use my full name. That's weird.
What's your social security number?
Yeah.
Well, 555-555-555-5.
And we are without T.O.
We're sans Tay.
Yeah.
He is
fancy that one.
Yeah.
Sans Tay.
He's in French.
Word.
And I said French.
He's in French.
We're feuding.
Which is my favorite dressing, by the way, is French.
Taylor's busy starting our spinoff podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah.
Full House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's where he explores the stalagmites. Or stalactites. I'm not sure what the difference is.
It's actually both. It's both the pointy uppy and the pointy downy.
Yeah, which is what they told me on prom night. And that did not work out well. It was still pretty creepy. I'll leave that right there. So we're going to look at the princess.
Never do it with science, teacher.
Yeah.
Wear a condom.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You end up deep in the periodic table. It's
okay.
Not good. You end up uranium.
Dewey Decimal.
Library.
And Travis is a librarian. So there you go.
Nope.
That's true.
I worked.
Retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Retired librarian.
Yeah. At one point in time, I thought I was a librarian because I worked in a library. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Huh. I thought I had mono one time. It turns out I was just really bored. which we'll have to do Wayne's World sometime. We'll have to mix that one in. That's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a wedding in Wayne's World.
Princess Bride.
That's true. one of the most acclaimed movies, actually, that we've watched for this podcast in terms of critical review. This was an...
All time?
Yeah. This is definitely a very highly regarded movie.
This movie should and is on like a lot of like top 100 lists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It never gets old. I've seen it dozens and dozens
so
and
much fun.
Dozens of times.
So much fun. Ironically, it's a movie as a kid that I would rent when I was sick. You know, I liked watching it when I was sick.
He's sick too.
Yeah.
It's like, we're buddies.
I'm just like the kid from the Wonder Years. This is cool. This came out September 25th, 1987, which is 35 years ago.
Yes. Whew, classic.
God damn it. That's a long time.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. This was a modest box office success when it came out. It didn't gross a whole lot of money, but it has since obviously taken on a big cult following.
Based on a book, which I was unaware of.
Yes, and actually written by the author. This was written by...
actually written by the author.
Well, I mean, the script...
Most books are written by their authors.
Let me clarify.
Please.
The script was written by the author of the book.
Oh, I didn't know that.
William Goldman, who's actually an Oscar-winning screenwriter. He wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and All the President's Men, for which he won Oscars for both.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He wrote this book kind of on a whim specifically for his kids and because they requested for him to write a story for them. And so he wrote this book and then...
It's a lot less weird than Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, it is.
Also written for their kids.
Exactly.
Or Lady in the Water?
Did he write that for his
kids?
That's weird.
That movie was a turd casserole.
Imagine getting that written for you and it's like, Dad... No thanks.
And I'm not a vulgar person. I don't generally use a lot of profanity, but that was a turd casserole. Yeah. Yeah.
Calm down, Todd.
That was a multi-layered turd dip.
It's like a 7-layer poop dip.
So, The Princess Bride was directed by Rob Reiner, who directed this Spinal Tap before this movie came out. And then he did a lot of classics like A Few Good Men afterwards. And
I love Rob Reiner.
American President. Like he had a lot of good movies.
Harry Met Sally? Did he direct that?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. Well, also Billy Crystal, who was in this movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on William Goldman's book, The Princess Bride, S. Morgenstern's classic tale of true love and high adventure, the good parts version. Story uses a framing device. Apparently the book does as well. I've not read the book, but it uses the same framing device of a grandfather, played by Peter Falk of Columbo fame, reading a story to his sick grandson, Fred Savage, of the Wonder Years fame. So you have two TV icons playing grandfather, grandson. So in the story, in the book within the story, Princess Buttercup is played by Robin Wright.
Before Sean penned.
Falls for a farm boy named Westley. Not Wesley. Westley.
He's more west than others.
Exactly. It lends it more of a fairy tale.
Most likely thing. Kill you in the morning.
Carrie Elwes, who would also go on to be Robin Hood, Robin Hood Men in Tights. Mm-hmm. And
very, very similar roles.
Mm-hmm. Unlike some Robin Hoods, he can use an English accent, which is impressive. they fall in love.
There's a wedding in that movie.
There is. Yeah, that's true. And Prince of Thieves, Robin Hood.
And Costner's butt cheeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could do an all butt cheek spectacular for us. You know, we could do all.
Do a season of butt cheeks.
Yeah, all male butt cheeks.
We would have to do Orgasmo. Did you ever see Orgasmo?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
I think I did.
It was the South Park guys. They made a movie about a Mormon missionary who becomes a porn star.
Yeah.
And every time there's about to be female nudity in the movie, a male ass just walks on the frame.
All right.
Just every time they block it with a male ass. It's great. There's no female nudity in the entire movie.
It's all male.
Yep.
In fact, you could do a whole Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner subset because you got Kevin Costner Dance with Wolves, Robin Hood. I want to say The Postman, which, you know, he definitely showed his ass in that one.
I didn't see it.
No, it sucked. It was awful.
His ass or the movie?
Well, both, actually, in that one.
Really?
Both were subpar. Mel Gibson in a lot of his movies, you know, Lethal Weapon and et cetera. I think in one of the Mad Max, I think it was Thunderdome, he goes bare butt.
I think you should fact check that butt rating. I feel like he's got a decent rump.
Oh, I think it. And the earlier movies is great. I think everything about The Postman, maybe it was just my general mood.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. You know, I think...
This movie's ass.
A bad movie, yeah. A bad movie tends to take a couple of points off of my butt ratings. So, I mean, it might have been a 7, but in my mood, 3 hours into a movie about Postman is a 5. So
Westley with a T.
Westley. They get separated, and in those intervening years, Princess Buttercup gets betrothed, another big word, to an odious...
Another big word.
God, I'm killing them on these notes here. Prince Humperdinck.
You must have been wearing your glasses.
Push them right up the bridge of my nose. Played by Chris Sarandon, who is also Jerry in Fright Night.
Jerry Dandridge.
Yeah, Chris Sarandon just keeps popping up in these. But before she can be married, Buttercup gets kidnapped by 3 bandits. A sword-fighting mercenary on a secret vendetta played by Broadway star Mandy Patinkin, who says to this day this is his favorite role. Inigo Montoya.
It's a great role.
Mm-hmm. Gentle-hearted giant played by, in a strange stretch of casting, Andre the Giant.
Well, it's hard to cast someone who's not a giant to play a giant, so...
He played Fezzik.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed fitting.
Yes.
What was the other guy's name?
I
don't remember.
Inconceivable. They call him the Sicilian, I think. He's the Sicilian. Wallace Shawn, who is the subject of one of my favorite Onion articles, talking about how he will be tapped to replace Daniel Craig as James Bond. I think Wallace Shawn will be an excellent 007.
I love that.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Yeah, it's inconceivable. So he is a mouthy individual who fancies himself as a brainiac. They are pursued by a mysterious man in black who has motives of his own for rescuing the princess. So I'm curious to hear you. I have my opinion after that. I want to hear you guys first. Start with Trav.
Ooh, I love this movie. Again, I've seen it multiple times, but the Inigo Montoya with his speech there at the end, he has his own arc and you almost care about that arc at the end more than you do the, Wesley and Buttercup.
Yeah, like, as soon as you see the sheriff with 6 fingers, you're like, ah, yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
You have the same, and honestly, his acting in that part, like, you can't talk enough about that. Like, everybody remembers that scene. Everybody remembers that line, obviously because it's repeated so often. But it's almost the, not conflict, God, what am I thinking? crescendo of the film, yeah, for me anyway,
yeah,
watching absolutely. It. Because I, you know, going to save the princess and getting out of the castle. Again, I've seen variations of that several times, but the Inigo Montoya storyline I really enjoyed. Andre the Giant as Fezzik, loved him. So charismatic.
Delightful.
Yeah, just heavenly. The creepy little ROUSs, the rodents of unusual size, the crazy swamps, the daring do. Yeah, I loved it. I'm a big Chris Sarandon fan as well, because he
perfect
was
for the role.
Jerry Dandridge in Fright Night. And then you have the Mowage
Wav,
which apparently is based on somebody who actually married somebody in a ceremony William Goldman was at, and he couldn't stop laughing through the ceremony. So,
well, I think that that's become so iconic that like some people have actually had their weddings done in that style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like
Mowage.
And then Billy Crystal. Wow. And I can't remember the other actress.
Carol Kane.
Yes.
Dude, Billy Crystal.
I love them so much.
Awesome.
Yeah. And this, yeah. It's, I
hear that? Bluff. True bluff.
Not a bad
is he a gambler?
Actor in the group.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No, say. There is no weak link in this entire movie.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Great.
The singing eels freaked me out as a kid.
Me too.
I remember that. And I was like, oh, no, I guess I'm never swimming in the ocean or a lake at night ever.
Eels are kind of terrifying anyway.
Shrieking eels.
I mean, if you ever see an eel, they're scary looking anyway. I mean, they got the big, like, jagged looking teeth and the mean look on their face.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there's different kinds of eels.
Yeah.
There's moray, electric.
Yeah.
But I think the normal run-of-the-mill eel is just sort of like a, I don't know, kind of a thick snake.
And then I remember either my parents or my parents' friends, because we were, this is obviously a movie that you can watch with the whole family.
Super
family. And I remember like going over to the K-Bricks when I was very young, and both of our families would sit there and this would be on. And then somebody commented that this has the longest sword fight scene ever in cinema.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that accurate? I
mean, it's very chatty. It's very talky.
Yeah.
Is it the sword fight scene near the beginning,
where
they're fighting on the rocks?
With Inigo Montoya and the man in black.
Huh, but what you do not know is I am not left-handed.
Yeah, which that reminds me of the Ted Lasso, the dart scene, where it's like he's playing the guy in darts, and then he switches hands, like, oh, I forgot I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
So, so what would you give it, 1 to 10?
10. Yeah. I don't think every time I watch this, every time it's on, I know we keep saying that over and over. This movie does not get old to me. Every time I see it, I can start it at near the beginning, the middle, the end, and I'll sit there and I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is my childhood. This is, if I were to have to pick like one film of my childhood, like this is probably it.
I don't think you're allowed to give a movie a 10 on this podcast unless you're doing it in a Varsity Blues voice.
10. 10. I love it so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's other like problems with it or people can poke holes in it. Like, I don't know that anybody does, though.
I mean,
that's a sick mind that pokes holes in this movie.
Well, there's people that can't stand this movie.
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't.
There's people that pull the wings off of butterflies. This is a strange world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those aren't people you want to associate with.
The world's a twisted place.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, some people just live cruel, just wicked to lives.
Watch the world burn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not a movie that's meant to be scrutinized. This is not a movie that's supposed to be mechanically taken apart and put back together.
And when I would watch it as a kid, I would forget that Fred Savage was in bed being read the story because I was so immersed. And then it would snap back and I'd be like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, he was bed read.
It was almost like a weird, like a commercial in the middle of a movie. I'm like, "Oh my god, I forgot all about the kid."
It's interesting because, well, I'll get to that in my comments, but we'll get to Sean.
And Peter Falk has a delightful voice as a narrator.
Oh yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. I had to like do a double take. I was like, is that Kurt Vonnegut? Like he has that like grizzled kind of like, you know, he drinks kind of look.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and look up Kevin Pollak, the comedian, and some of his Peter Falk impressions. He can even do the glass eye thing, like the lazy eye. It's amazing.
Huh.
He is the premier Kevin Falk impersonator, also, or Peter Falk.
This reminded me of a little bit of when when Fezzik and Inigo were trying to get in to the castle, and we're like, oh, we, the guy, the gatekeeper's like, oh, we don't have the key. And he's like, Fezzik, rip his arms off. We're like, oh, you mean this key? But it reminded me of Chewie. And they were like, well, he's going to rip your arms off. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Why do giants just go around ripping people's arms off?
And why is it the arms?
Yeah.
And I love it where Andre the Giant's like, they're in the fight scene, Cary Elwes, and he's like, yeah, I'm used to fighting six people at a time. This is weird. Just one person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm used to groups of people, you know, torches and pitchforks. So Sean, what do you think?
This movie's great. I didn't watch this movie as a kid. I saw it later in life. And normally when that happens, when there's movies that people love because they saw it when they were kids, and you see it later in life and you don't see it as a kid, it doesn't have the same glow. Notable examples like Willow. I didn't see Willow as a kid. And when I saw it as an adult, I was like, okay, this movie's fine. Yeah. It's fine. But this one, I love this movie. It's so good. It's fun. It's family friendly. It's just, it's a romp. It's a good time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it, like you said, the main character, Wesley, ended up later being fucking Robin Hood and Robin Hood Men in Tights. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities between those two movies. It feels like Robin Hood Men in Tights was like the adult version of The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And that's a movie I would love to do one day because I love Mel Brooks. Mm-hmm. Like I literally had to go to IMDb and like, are there any similarities in the writers? Are there any? No crossover. No mm-hmm. crossover whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, two people hitting the same vein in a very similar way.
In fact, in terms of like filmmaking creative pedigree, you couldn't get further apart than William Goldman and Rob Reiner and Mel Brooks. I mean, I know that but I know that like Carl Reiner, Rob's dad, and Mel Brooks are like best friends. Mm-hmm. They were like have dinner together like every week. So,
well, and I'm a huge Mel Brooks fan.
Carl Reiner, this was during COVID, they did not a parody, but an homage to Princess Bride, and that was Carl Reiner's last role before he died. He was reading a book to his son Rob Reiner in bed, and he was like doing the whole "As You Wish."
That's awesome.
And so during his in memoriam at during some show, they showed that as his last. Gave me, oh, I got real misty when I saw that.
That's awesome.
I think this movie's great. It's one, like you said, it's one of those ones you could turn it on anytime. I didn't even have to watch this movie to do this podcast, but I did anyway. Like I had the option of just kind of skipping it, but I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. I want to watch it again.
Same here. Yeah.
And it's on Disney Plus. I mean, mm-hmm. it's some movies like you have to really kind of give a second pause. You got to have a pause. Like, do I really want to watch this?
Yeah.
This one, no hesitation. Like I was going to watch it. It's great. It's an hour 38.
Yeah.
It's pretty short. It's hilarious. It's, you know, it's a classic. I loved it. Its cinematography is really good for the time. It ages really well. I think that's pretty easy to do when anything is set in like a kind of period piece-ish, you know, it ages a little bit better. You could definitely tell that there were some things where they were on set, like during the fight scene, the big fight scene on the rocks, you could tell when they were landing out and like some of those stunts they were landing on, like big old pads that were covered in dust.
Yeah.
But,
which I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know,
it's
old school Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And you forget that this movie was from 1987, but it straight up was like, yeah, it felt very like kind of that old Hollywood set, like kind of clunky, kind of like fabricated.
It's awesome.
It's so enjoyable.
Wizard of Oz type sort of thing, where it's like, you know, that the Emerald City is like a big green painting.
I know it's just a painting that some set hand did in like 2 hours.
But you don't care at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like, now that you mention it, I really liked when, you know, Wesley was showing up as the Dread Pirates Roberts, and they were like, oh, there's a boat behind us. And you see just blackness all around.
Except for like a spotlight.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, it looks a little hokey, but I really like that shot.
Yeah.
Of it slowly, like, and honestly, I didn't realize that I really liked that shot until you mentioned it. I'm like, it's burned in my brain, and there's obviously nothing else around it. It lets them save money on all the backgrounds. They can be in a small little tank, and then it's a little miniature super far away.
Like somehow
it just works.
The way they did it in like a cheaper way almost feels endearing.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it feels like
charming.
It feels charming. Like This movie is a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, 10. And, I mean, you can nitpick at it. Like, you could. I mean, you could. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Like,
no.
Sure. There's things you can nitpick, but this movie's so fun. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It does also the rocked cliff area where they're having the big sword fight with Inigo. It looks like a Star Trek set.
It does look like a Star Trek.
Yeah. Kirk would be fighting like
you're going to see a red shirt like hiding behind the rock.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're a 10 as well?
10.
Yeah.
10.
I believe I am that way. I'm on the same page. So, I mean, the way that I wrote here, and it's interesting to compare like what I had coming in to what you guys have said. It's like I said, this is a warm, irresistible movie. It's a piece of old school filmmaking. Like it's, you know, they use the matte paintings, the miniatures, the pre-made sets for like the fire swamp and the.
It's like a Nestle Toll House cookie. It's like, you Ooh. Know, it's not like the most effort has gone into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is delicious.
Yeah.
Classic.
It's classic.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's got big, corny music cues. Music by Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits. I don't know if you guys are familiar with your 80s bands.
Huh.
But, yeah.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Mark Knopfler did the music for this. And then, yeah, it's like kids will love the big storytelling flourishes, the sword fighting, the giants, the monsters. And it's like adults will like the campy jokes and kind of the old school vibe of it. You know, it's silly. And so it kind of appeals to both demographics, kids and adults. And I say this has become a classic for a reason. And it takes a great film to hold up for 35 years and still be as good as it was, if not better than the first time you watched it. So this is a 10.
So
easily.
Todd, I have to ask, how soon before you show this movie to your son?
I mean, I would say definitely early elementary school. I mean,
7, 8.
Yeah.
What are the hurdles here? Shrieking eels,
there's some
rodents.
Scary parts of unusual size, yeah.
Yeah.
The torture device that takes years off your life?
Carrie Elway screaming on the gurney. There's some stuff that right now he would get pretty scared by. So,
yeah. Ice machines are pretty scary right
now. He's scared of the fridge ice machine, so he's only 2.
I want to say 6, 7.
Yeah.
You can do that. Plus, you want to cuss around your kid early. You want to give him
you
the full range.
Start giving him like the real fun ones.
Yeah.
Well, he needs to be able to express himself in the full. Like, all the coolest kids cuss when they were younger. They were like, but don't do it at school.
Yeah. What I want you to do is go sell my wife on this argument, then I'm down. You get her to agree, and I'm in.
I'm fucking in it.
Yeah. just start early. Just be like, it's your Uncle Cunt. Hi. Hey.
Uncle
Cunt.
Hey,
Cunty. Buddy. It's your Uncle Cunt.
It's your Uncle Cunt face.
Well, not face, but all right.
Yeah.
Sacrifice. It's a sacrifice you're willing to make.
Yeah. Who wants to ride in your uncle's bitch boat? But yeah, you sell Joanna on that and I'm in.
All right, cool.
Yeah, this
good
is
thing she doesn't listen to the pod.
Oh, but she does.
Oh.
Oh, but I will hear about this. So thanks, Uncle Cuntface. it's a little bit about the wine we're drinking. This is a little bit of a step up from the first one. We did Olivares for our little mini pod for Obi-Wan.
Todd, are you mad at me?
No, I love you.
Yeah, that last little bit of pour, man, I was waiting for my extra, like, my top off as Todd had the bottle, and then I watched the entire contents go into Sean's glass, and I was like, oh, he poured himself some, then he topped off Sean's glass, and I was like, oh, that's just...
He's left-handed.
Yeah,
so,
that's,
in so many ways.
So Todd giggled and gave me the last 3 drips.
It was like the Three Amigos scenario where it's like you get all the dirt out of the canteen.
Yeah.
Not intentionally.
Like, oh, I'll go fuck myself.
It's like, all right, that's cool. Lip balm.
So what did I drink? What
What could you have drank?
Yeah, you guys look like you're enjoying it.
Here, have a sip.
This is delightful.
I'm good.
This is the Beau Gloss. This is an Oregon Willamette Valley Rosé of Pinot Noir. So this is a little bit higher end than the Olivares. This is probably about 20-25. So
it's milder.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little less acidic. What'd you say? It hit the dangly thing in the back of your throat.
It didn't hit as sharply on the back of my throat. For sure.
Coming from a Pinot Noir, that's not surprising. It's going to be a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
Have a little more of a sanded edge to it.
Has a little bit more, not darkness, but like some, shade.
Deeper richness. Yeah, it's going to have a little more of a...
rich.
Deeper fruit flavor.
It invites you in a little more. It's a little more chuggable.
Yeah.
This is going down real smooth.
It's going down smoother than it should. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a classic difference between, like, not only an Oregon Pinot Noir and a European, like rosés. The European rosés can be a little bit leaner flavored, whereas, like, the Oregon type rosés can be a little fuller, richer, bigger, bolder flavored rosés.
So this is a Pinot Noir grape mm-hmm. that's been peeled mm-hmm. and turned into a rosé.
Yeah.
What's the percentage on this bitch?
I've never heard that put so eloquently.
You knew what I was saying. You grabbed the bottle.
This bitch has got 13.1, so pretty typical.
That's hefty for a rosé.
Yeah. I mean, usually you'll find 12, 5, 13, somewhere in that range, which is about what a Pinot Noir is as well.
Cab Sav last night, it was 14.5.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So that bitch was 14, too. Is that accurate?
14.5.
14.5, yeah. Mm. Which is pretty. Did it have kind of a heat? Kind of a warm
flavor. I don't know. I put ice cubes in it and drank it out of a mason jar with a straw. I was just looking for the warm cheeks.
How big was the box that it came in?
You drank it from a bong.
It was in a bottle. I fancied it up last night.
Look at you.
But no, it was good. I just had chilled it.
I gave blood yesterday.
It was a 2016.
I was toying with the idea of drinking a bottle of wine, but
Yeah. So this is our last wedding episode. And coming up, we're going to do we have a gap, movie.
Wait a minute. We didn't even talk about her fancy dresses. I want to wear Buttercup's like fancy red dress. It looks like it would breathe a lot and glow.
I don't think it would. Was it not velvet?
I mean, it was cinched up in the torso, but like, honestly, just imagine breaking wind in that thing. You just like flop it and then do a two step.
Dresses in general, I think. Mm-hmm. Tremendous farting potential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shorts, pants, not so much.
Yeah.
Kilts. I think if you brought back a kilt, that would be a dangerous situation for everybody around you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry, Todd. You can wrap it up. I just wanted to talk about farts in a dress.
Fair enough. So what the hell was I saying? Oh, yeah. So this is our last wedding movie. That's part 6 of 6.
The wedding dress was good too.
Yeah. So, and there's going to be a gap movie where we're going to do the movie Network.
Network? Is it just Network?
It's just Network.
Network?
Just no article at all. It's just one word. It's like share, you know, it's just there.
Network.
Yes. And that's the movie that we all put random names into a cup and drew one. That was my pick, as fate would have it. Mm. I'm excited to watch that. That is probably somewhere in my top 10 of all-time movies. Won multiple Oscars. Looking forward to hearing your guys' thoughts on that. Joe and I rewatched it a couple nights ago, and it's just phenomenal.
Is your shoulder okay?
Is it on HBO?
Patting yourself on the back so hard?
It's on HBO, right? HBO,
I believe so. If it's not, I've got it on Blu-ray. Okay. If you guys need it, so So it's a favorite of mine for sure.
La ti da. Was everybody a fan of Wesley's like very tiny mustache?
That was perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. I mean, his hairdo like kind of falling into his eyes.
I wish I could have that hairdo.
Yeah.
Fun boy.
I had that in junior high. The JTT.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want to see photos.
Like Home Improvement season 5.
Oh yeah. It was lush.
Yeah.
You had the Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Mm. That's right.
We'll talk later.
Yeah. We'll take our answer off the air on that one. but after the movie Network, we're gonna do time travel movies. We'll kick that off with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We got a good lineup of time travel movies, so I'm sure you guys will like that. But one more time. Have to put that on the Instagram. We got to get that picture.
My JTT and my football jersey.
Yeah, I mean that's but yeah, got good stuff lined up for you. We're gonna get some good wine. Yeah, I mean good weather, everything.
Good weather. It's too hot.
Yeah, it is.
It's too hot for us. We're large gentlemen.
Hotter than balls.
Ugh. Gross.
Hotter than ball bags, but. Anyway, that's all coming up soon, so you guys be sure and tune in. Have some good stuff. And we'll bring Tay back once he gets back from space camp. So,
The 10 Lord, pounds lighter.
Yeah. What is the Lord gives you the test in the small thing? What was the quote again?
No, I've got a different one now.
Okay.
As you wish.
Exactly.
But, I love you too, man.
Yeah.
I love you too.
Travis Budd, Rabs hey. Tud, Sean Jordan.
Hey.
I'm Todd Wofford. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Prepare to die.
We will see you guys
next time.
Anybody want a peanut? Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com. But I just wanted to talk about farts in a dress.